Today we continue those special Friday Masses of the Lenten season, and today being the Mass of the Lance and the Nails of our Lord, instruments in His suffering. Last time we talked of the Crown of Thorns as another different instrument of suffering, and now today is the Mass of the Lance and Nails. What do these instruments signify? I mean, that really we could spend, you know, tons of time thinking of all these different meditations about them. But the one that came to mind for me, it has to do with the saint that we're so often talking about in Lent in St. Gertrude's, is that of St. Francis of Assisi. Yesterday, I was reading the his life according to G.K. Chesterton, that the St. Francis of Assisi, he talked about something so spectacular in that total giving of himself, St. Francis. And that, you know, bit by bit, he gave more and more of himself to God. It starts off that, you know, he gives a little of himself by giving up his life as a soldier, the dream that he had of being that soldier, and he was starting to live that life, and then he gives of himself more by going past his own feelings and hugging the leper along the way. You know, any kind of money at that point he would have been willing to sacrifice with, but the most thing that made him most uncomfortable was a leper. That idea of it was such a shunning point, that it was a fearful point for him, and you know, that our Lord asked him to greet this leper along his way, and not to just to greet him, but to embrace the leper. And St. Francis did. He embraced him, gave him everything he had, and it said from some of the writers that as he remounted his horse and continued down the road, he turned back to see the leper, and he was gone. And, you know, showing that it was actually our Lord that was there for him to embrace as that leper. Then, of course, comes the time that he starts to become truly living a religious life and trying to start in that way anyways, and starts rebuilding churches. And in a way, he kind of gets some ill-gotten gains from his own father by taking some of the textiles that his dad was selling and selling the cloth. And taking the money towards rebuilding the church. And his dad not only, you know, demanded the money back, but also tried to take him to court, if you will, and they ultimately ended up in front of the bishop. And St. Francis not only will I give him back all of his money, but everything that I have ever had that belongs to him, I give him now. And you know, for once I had called him my father, but now I call God my father. And he took off all of his clothes there, leaving only a hair shirt upon himself, and he marched off into the frozen wilderness, leaving behind all of his earthly goods and earthly claim there, and embraced an absolute life of poverty, just as we know as the Franciscans, giving up all of his earthly treasures and having nothing for himself. Not only, even talks of monks, how they would, you know, a monk would give up all of his goods, but at nighttime he still knew that where his supper was coming from. It was coming from the community. Well, St. Francis, and those of his followers, gave up so much in the way of possessions that they didn't even know where their supper would come from. In fact, sometimes they did not know whether they would suffer or not. And so that total giving of every ounce there to Providence, and then, you know, giving of the desire to give of his life to go to die at the hands of the Mohammedans, of the Muslims, and to trying to convert them, even going and meeting the Sultan himself, and willing to die for him. God did not desire his life, but only his willingness to give it. And so he went and presented himself before the Muslims, and then he took even a deeper suffering for St. Francis, and even the stigmata. What do we think of the stigmata? We think the wounds of Christ, but But it's so much more than that. And it says that of St. Francis that he suffered a wound not only through his hands and his feet and his side, but a wound truly of the heart. It made him sorrow as our, in an imitation of our Lord, and, you know, sorrowing for sins, sorrowing for any offenses given to him, sorrowing in a truly deep sense that is only a mystical understanding fully embrace. And he bore that every day, with, along with the marks, the outward marks of that inward pain. And ultimately, his last day even, just constantly giving of himself to our Lord, giving every ounce of his strength to our Lord, even asking to be removed from what would pass as his bed, you know, a bit of straw and things that was probably not overly comfortable to begin with, but even asking to be removed from that and laid upon the cold hard floor to die and breathe his last breaths in that state, as total abandonment to even any kind of comfort whatsoever, given up to that last moment to God. And now we come to the lancet nails. Our Lord is nailed to the cross by nails. He's placed there, and this is going to be how he dies. This is how he meets his end. He's going to die the shameful death of crucifixion, and he goes about it all the way to the end and does die. But like St. Francis, he's not done giving of himself until he's given his all. Every step along the way, we read it, we pray the sorrowful mysteries, and we meditate upon the way of the cross, and we see step by step, bit by bit, he gives more and more of himself. More suffering, more sorrow, more pain, more drops of blood, more pieces of flesh. Giving up all the way to the end, he comes down, and at the very end, he's not even left with his own clothes. He too is stripped of his garments. He too is laid upon the cold, hard wood. He too is nailed to that cross, and he dies in that position. St. Francis and our Lord on the wood, arms outstretched, bearing marks of the nails. And he gave all the way to the end, but our Lord wasn't done just because he breathed his last breath. The lance comes in as one final blow, that even in death, our Lord was not done giving, because there still remained in his body even a little bit of blood that was still there to yet to fall to the ground for the salvation of souls, for the salvation of sinners. And so he wills it to be done, that even that is let out by this lance that pierces his heart, and that last bit of water and blood drains from him there. Draining from him and working a miracle all at the same time. Because the salvation that came from his sacrifice and his blood began immediately there. With that last giving, it showered over the St. Longinus. It showered over him, and he would convert, and he'd even die himself in honor of Christ as a martyr. Because of that last giving, that last shedding of every ounce of his own being. And we come to ourselves full circle with that. We are not our Lord. We are not St. Francis. But just as St. Francis was not our Lord, he did all that he could to imitate him. They said that nobody was more Christ-like than St. Francis ever. And in that sense, Christ was also like St. Francis. They were joined together, even though it was two different, total different ways of death. even in the imagery given in there, that's that they were so united in everything. St. Francis was united to God's will so closely, and so united and is willing to give of himself, of everything of himself, and to give even of his own will to God, all the way up to the end. And so for us, we see our pathway. St. Francis gave everything of his health, and he saved his soul, became a great saint in heaven. Our Lord gave every bit of himself, and he opened those very gates of heaven, and began saving souls immediately. Our path is no different. Our path requires us to give of ourselves. No, we do not have to give away all our earthly possessions. No, we do not have to die a violent death upon the cross or in any other manner necessarily. But we do have to give of ourselves. We have to give of our will. We have to give of our comfort. We have to give of our desire to seek earthly pleasure, to seek after something that's higher, to seek not after ourselves, but after God, and having that be the only end in which we seek. And every step of the way, we'll have to give a little bit more. We'll have to suffer a little more. We'll have to pray a little more. We'll have to make ourselves uncomfortable again. We'll have to do something that we don't necessarily want to do. But in the end, we make that little miniature way of the cross in our own lives. And it leads to the same conclusion. It leads to those same gates, those gates of heaven. They're only gained by our own sacrifice and our own willingness to give anything and bear our own spiritual marks of our Lord's crucifixion. To take those nails and to hold them in our hands spiritually, to embrace them, the marks of in our hands, in our feet spiritually. How? To walk where we don't want to go. Meaning that at times we're going to have to do things that we don't want to. Maybe we have to stand up for the faith in work or amongst friends when we don't want to. Perhaps we have to at times go to do duties of ours that we do not desire. Or perhaps we have to follow the example of someone when we want to lead ourselves, our will desires us to do our own thing, but perhaps our parents or our superiors or whatever it may be tells us otherwise. We have to follow, we have to tread in those footprints and walk that pathway of giving of ourselves and embracing in our hands those marks of the nails to make them available to give to others whatever we can, to give our prayers first and foremost, to give assistance where we can. If someone needs help, we aid them. If to be willing to embrace the leper that comes to us, whoever they may be, that person whom we really don't want to be around, but we know that charity demands it of us. And lastly, to embrace the lance in our heart. Take it and give all of these things to our Lord, not begrudgingly, not as one parting with his favorite possession in life that does so hesitantly and only out of duty, but to do so out of love, to pierce our own hearts and to give of our very substance, not because we have to, but because we love to, and we love God to give it to. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.